The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and we, of course, are in the midst of Pride Month, and we have seen across the spectrum not only our woke companies continuing to go woke, but even some Republican senators appear to be going woke. And I'm, of course, talking about Senator Ted Cruz and his very interesting tweet about a Ugandan a law that criminalizes aggravated homosexuality. Now, I and my fellow Christians and a lot of conservative commentators actually pushed back on this tweet. And what I found really fascinating is the selective people that Senator Cruz actually chose to respond to. One of those is Pastor Tom Askell, who, of course, is the pastor out of Florida and Grace Bible Church out of Florida. And he's going to be my special guest today as we talk through what the response to these woke policies really need to be and how Christians must continue to advocate for a conservative policy that is based substantively in the biblical worldview. And we need to be more focused on the biblical worldview and advocating for the Christian worldview in our policies, then we are concerned about partisan politics like Republican versus Democrat. So all that and more with Tom Askell coming up right after this.
With inflation, the banking world collapse, and everything that Joe Biden is doing not to protect America, you need to make sure to secure your financial health, especially in retirement. And hey, if you're a millennial like me, that actually is sooner than you think. You need to start now, even if you are a millennial or a Gen Zer, to make sure that your financial health is actually healthy when we get to retirement. And Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in gold and silver online in real time. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped right to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar, and this puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A truly diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This brand new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with just a few clicks. Visit LegacyPM.com to get started. You can download the free investor's guide, and you can also call Legacy PM Investments to talk to a portfolio expert to get expert answers to customize your personal portfolio. So visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. Tell them that Jenna sent you.
So as we're talking this morning, and we are actually on the road this week as well, I should mention that, and I hope to see a lot of you at the Western Conservative Summit in Denver this weekend, and I'll be back in my former home state to speak there, and it's been a great week. But as we're continuing to talk about the upcoming election in 2024 and kind of having this this view that is much more than just a siloed view between Republicans and Democrats, we always have to look at what the politician or even the pastor is actually expressing and what the viewpoint is, and coming back to comparing and contrasting that to biblical truth, and not just having this this focus that if a Republican says something, that's good. If a Democrat says something, that's wrong. Because if that is our framework, then we're missing the ultimate point that as Christians, we always, always have to keep truth as our standard, not just partisan politics. And this was really evidenced this week as well. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I wanted to get into this more with my first guest, because he actually had a back and forth on this issue yesterday with Senator Ted Cruz, who a lot of you, especially the listeners out of Texas, of course, I think historically we've all been supportive of Ted Cruz and what he's done in the U.S. Senate. But remarkably, he had such a bad take on Twitter. And I still don't quite get what his reasoning for this is. And a lot of us, including Tom Askell, who is the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Florida, also asked him yesterday. But here's kind of the setup before I bring Tom on. The New York Times reported, just as a matter of news, that the president of Uganda signed a punitive anti-gay bill on Monday, that's their term, and this is what they tweeted, that includes the death penalty, enshrining into law an intensifying crackdown against the LGBT people in the East African nation. So if you actually go and look at that, it it punishes what the law terms aggravated homosexuality, which includes a lot of offenses against not only children, but also the elderly, the disabled, and that's actually how the bill itself and the law defines aggravated homosexuality. So what Ted Cruz ended up tweeting in response to this New York Times news, he said this: "This Ugandan law is horrific and wrong. Any law criminalizing homosexuality or imposing the death penalty for, quote, aggravated homosexuality is grotesque and an abomination. All civilized nations should join together in condemning this human rights abuse. Hashtag LGBTQ. So our friend Tom Askell said this: "Tell it to God, Ted. Quote, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. Leviticus 20:13. He goes on to say, was this law God gave to his old covenant people, quote, horrific and wrong? Ted responded and said, Pastor, I don't know you, but I honor your ministry. Your biblical analysis is in error. Jesus told us to, quote, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. We are talking the laws of man, not the Old Testament laws of God. Do you really believe that the U.S. government should execute every person who is gay? He goes on to say, Leviticus also tells us, quote, for anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Should the government execute every child who is disrespectful to his parents? That ignores grace in the New Testament. As our Savior taught us, let he that is without sin cast the first stone." So Tom Askell replies, "Senator, thank you for responding. I asked a question that reveals my point. God gave Israel Leviticus 20:13. Do you think God is guilty of giving a law that is wrong, horrific, grotesque, and an abomination? That is my concern. I'll answer your questions. No, I do not think the U.S. should execute everyone who is gay. No, I do not believe the U.S. government should execute every child who is disrespectful to his parents, but not for the reasons you give. The principles by which you make your argument lead to great confusion and harm if followed consistently. It's important. This is an important conversation for both the church and the state." So Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church, and previously was a candidate for president of the Southern Baptist Convention, joins me now. And so, Tom, I think this is just so illustrative of how I hope that Ted Cruz is well-meaning, so we'll categorize him as a well-meaning person, really runs afoul of how to correctly and appropriately apply biblical truth and principles to analysis of policy. So overall, I just want to get your quick take on responding to this conversation as a whole.
Yeah, well, Jenna, thank you so much for this opportunity. And like you, I believe that Ted Cruz is acting out of the best of intentions here. I just think he's misguided. And you're correct. This is a classic example of how confused not just our society at large is, but how confused Christians within churches are about the matter of God's law and God's gospel. Of course, we believe that the only way you can be made right with God is through faith in Jesus Christ, who came into the world, lived a life of obedience to God's commands, and died on the cross in behalf of all who will trust in him. That's the gospel. That's good news. That's grace. But the God who gave us the gospel also gave us his law. He's the one who determines what's right and what's wrong. And though he had special purposes for Old Testament Israel, he gave them special laws for that special time, and we should not try to recreate Israel because God had a purpose in place for them in their era. But those laws that he gave to them could not be horrific and wrong and grotesque because they came from God. And that was my concern with what the senator said, was any law that criminalizes homosexuality is grotesque. And God created laws for Israel that are very clear, saying that homosexuality is a criminal act, and that cannot be an unjust, immoral, wrong, grotesque law. And we need to look at that. And if we understood law and gospel better in our churches, we'd be teaching it better, and people like Senator Cruz, who's a member of a Baptist church in Houston, I believe, maybe wouldn't be so confused about it. So that was my main contention, is wanting to show that what he said was actually a slam against God, who gave that specific law at one point in time to his old covenant people, Israel. And it has been some concerns. It has merit for us to consider about what is right and wrong for all time.
And that's such a great point, Tom Askell, that people tend to, and I think even Christians, tend to say, well, because the law was given to Old Testament Israel, and of course, you know, moral law is never changing because that comes from the person mm-hmm. and the character of God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't follow specific Old Testament law that was given only to the children of Israel. Like a lot of people will say, well, then why do you, have clothes that you know, don't follow the prescriptions in Leviticus, or they'll right. pull all of these different things that we don't follow today. And that's because we are not Old Testament Israel. But you raise the point right. that the law that was given to Old Testament Israel was not wrong or overbroad or the patriarchy, like some people claim, because mm-hmm. if we are following that premise, the logical conclusion would be then that God had a false or bad or slanderous view of women, or that this somehow the Old Testament law was not righteous and just. And I think a lot of people miss that point when even Christians sometimes profess that Old Testament law was too harsh, and that's why we live in an era of grace. And so how can we better understand that and understand Old Testament law in Leviticus versus what we understand as moral law that governs everyone, including in the New Testament era?
Yeah, well, one of the ways it's been done historically that I found very, very helpful is to recognize that you have to make some distinctions in Old Testament laws, law from law. And however you do it, you've got to make those distinctions, or else you have all kinds of contradictions that you can't overcome in what the Bible teaches. But the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So you have laws that were given to Israel as a nation. Those are civil laws. Then you have laws that were given to Israel as a worshiping community, the people of God. Those are ceremonial laws. And then you have laws that were given to Israel as people. Those are moral laws. Well, God no longer has his people operating in a geopolitical entity as Israel did in the Old Covenant, but we are now a holy nation scattered throughout all of the geopolitical nations of the world. And so the civil code given to Israel is not to be taken up and tit for tat applied today. That would be ludicrous to try to do that, because God had special purposes for that Old Testament civil people. And the ceremonial laws are done away with as well, because we are not the Old Covenant people of God. We're the New Covenant people of God. And so we have New Covenant ceremonies that are given to us, like baptism and the Lord's Supper. However, we are still people we're still made in the image of God. And so the moral law that is summarized in the Old Testament in the Ten Commandments that Jesus further summarized when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and then further summarized by saying, just be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, that moral law obtains for all people everywhere at all times, including us today. And what we can do and what the United States has done historically in the founding of this nation is look at that Old Testament case law that was given to Israel and say, are there any principles of righteousness in those Old Testament case laws? There's a case law in the Old Testament about having to build a fence or a parapet around your roof so that those on your roof wouldn't unnecessarily or easily fall over and injure themselves. Well, that there's some real good morality in that. So we ought to have fences around our swimming pool. That's a good illustration of how to take the righteous principle embedded in an Old Testament case law and say, well, if we're going to have a righteous nation, everybody has to have a parapet around the roof. No. But what's the point there? The point is protect people from dangerous situations in appropriate ways, measured ways. So the civil law of the Old Testament has much to do to instruct us in how to operate, but we shouldn't say, well, because God gave these civil penalties in case law to Israel, that we got to do that in America. That's why when people have said, well, Tom Askell's advocating the stoning of homosexuals, that's just ludicrous. I'm not at all. I do recognize that we had sodomy laws in this nation, and we ought to have a conversation as to why. Why were those laws on the books? Were they good laws? Were they bad laws? I'm willing to have that conversation and to discuss what the role of a civil government is under a constitutional republic regarding how we are to live our lives and how we are to conduct ourselves in various relationships. I think that's a legitimate conversation for every citizen of this nation to have.
Absolutely. And that's the conversation that legislators and people in the U.S. Senate, like Ted Cruz, for example, should be discussing. And it shouldn't just be, I'm going to go out and hashtag LGBTQ because I don't want to seem like I'm bigoted, or I don't want to seem like I'm hateful. And I'm, you know, so concerned that people are calling me names online that we don't have these important conversations in the context of not only government, but then also within the context of the church. And I want to have that conversation, and we're going to do that in the next segment. But in the last couple of minutes, in this segment that I have with you, Tom Askell, so it makes so much sense as you're describing. And I think anyone who has substantively understood and been taught doctrine understands the difference between the civil, the ceremonial, and the moral law of God. And so when you use, for example, the verse in Leviticus 20:13, then how should people parse and understand in context the differences there when you do cite to some Levitical law that has a moral principle behind it and isn't just civil law? Like how do we parse those? Because the reaction is always, well, if you say that anything in Leviticus is binding for today, then you have to embrace everything of Leviticus, and clearly you're not following Old Testament law.
No, that's right. And great question. First of all, in the church, what we have to recognize is, okay, God is showing us something that is an extension of the seventh commandment, which is a clear universal moral law. You shall not commit adultery. So sexuality comes from God, and sexuality is to be expressed in its fullness through a covenanted relationship of marriage between one man, one woman for all of life. That's God's revealed will of what's right and what's wrong. So homosexuality, as does fornication, adultery, and other forms of sexual perversion, distort what God has said is right. So in the church, we cannot compromise that. In the church, we cannot say you can be a homosexual Christian, you can be a fornicating Christian, you can be a pedophile Christian, you can be an LGBTQ Christian. It's impossible. It goes against what God, who created this world, and Jesus, who established the church, tells us is right, wrong, good, and bad. So in the church, that's absolute. So if a church member says, I'm now homosexual, I'm going to live in a homosexual lifestyle, the church must remove them. We don't stone them. We remove them. We don't, we're not a civil organization as the Church of Jesus Christ today. In the civil arena, we should look at that and say, okay, there's morality here. What is an appropriate law that we should have about sexuality? And we have those laws. We outlaw rape. We outlaw bestiality. We have, up until not too long ago, outlawed sodomy. And we ought to have the conversation. Is this a right thing for civil authorities, civil government, to prescribe for the citizens of this nation? And I'm willing to have that law. And quite honestly, I think that this nation was better off whenever we recognize that, yes, there are things that undermine human flourishing, things that destroy the fabric of a just and moral, upright society that we should not tolerate.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. I have it. I love it. I sleep on it every night. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. But now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. So for you, my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with offer and promo code Jenna. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square for the buy one, get one free offer. Enter promo code Jenna, or you can also call 800-564-8475 to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. So just remember, go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code Jenna for the MyPillow 2.0 or any of Mike Lindell's fabulous Made in America products. You can also go to MyStore.com and with promo code Jenna, refill all of your My Coffee and all of the great entrepreneurs' products that Mike Lindell and everyone in America should support.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and I'm talking with Pastor Tom Askell, who is the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Florida, and also became very controversial yesterday, as good pastors always are, of course, because we need to provoke good things and provoke people to the truth. Yesterday on Twitter, in this exchange with Senator Ted Cruz, talking about this Ugandan law that is providing for criminal penalties for quote-unquote aggravated homosexuality. And in the course of this discussion, in the last segment, if you missed it, you can go to AFR.net and listen to the rebroadcast of this show. And we were talking about the differences in God's law in terms of the civil law given to Old Testament Israel, the ceremonial law given to the church, and then, of course, the moral law of God across world history and human change. And in the context of moral law, we need to derive our civil law for our government and our day, because our civil law should always reflect moral law. And so in that context, Pastor Askell, I do want to ask you about the laws that we historically have had in America that did provide for punishment and a criminal context of sodomy laws. And just as a quick background, these laws that are commonly referred to as sodomy laws were overturned by the Supreme Court in a case called Lawrence versus Texas back in 2003. And the rationale for that was the same as every time the U.S. Supreme Court has promoted these the laws that are the cultural premise of furthering the secular leftist agenda that's been an outflow of the sexual revolution. And this really started in 1965 with Griswold versus Connecticut, where the Supreme Court contemplated for the first time contraceptive laws. And they found this so-called
right to privacy that is not enumerated in the U.S. Constitution, but they found emanated from the vast penumbra, the area, the space between the lines of the text of the Constitution, and they made up this theory. And so this so-called right to privacy was the basis of Roe versus Wade that was eventually overturned last year, and Planned Parenthood versus Casey that promoted this so-called right to privacy that allowed for some abortions in some circumstances that was further expanded. And then it came to Lawrence versus Texas that based its ruling on this notion of personal autonomy to define one's own relationships and that government has to stay out of my home and my bedroom, basically. And then this was extended further in 2015 in Obergefell versus Hodges that then tried to redefine marriage and say, well, you know, this is a right that human beings have to have a gay marriage. And so this has continued to extend from a non-moral premise, because of course the so-called right to privacy is not derived at all from the moral law of God, but that's how our case law and our jurisprudence has gotten so far off track. So my question, Tom Askell, is that the right way for our jurisprudence to have gone, or should we perhaps recontemplate laws under the moral law of God?
Yeah, well, the proof is in the pudding. And if you look at the pudding, it's rotten today. I mean, just look at what is going on in our culture and society. And the arguments immediately after Obergefell, the day after the court ruling in Obergefell, there was an article that I read advocating for what's now being popularly called the minor attracted persons. And why can't the people who are adults have sexual relations with people who are minors, your children? It's the same foundation that Obergefell and these other cases you described were decided on that this argument is now being made. And why is polygamy wrong? Who is to say that we have any basis to outlaw those things that still in our society there's a recognition, a kind of a memory, cultural memory, that, yeah, that's not a good idea. Bestiality, at least in most places, is still regarded as something that ought to be outlawed, should not be a part of a civil society. And so we've got to have these conversations, and you can't have them without looking at first principles, without looking at foundations on which arguments are built. And as you just so accurately described and helpfully described, the foundations on which our moral anarchy today is built is a rejection of what has always been right and always been wrong that God has given to us, summarized for us in his Ten Commandments. And again, I know people don't like that, and that's why I don't believe in God, and I don't like your Bible. You believe fairy tales. Well, you can argue all that you want to, but there is no denial that this nation was built upon a framework of those who recognize the moral foundation that is given to us in the Bible, in the Word of God. And that's why we have benefited so much that we have, as we have, over the history of our nation, is because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. And the blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. I'm not advocating a theocracy, but I am advocating for moral sanity. And we need to have the hard conversations to consider how do we get back to that.
Absolutely. And how do we get back to that? Because we have gone culturally so far down this rabbit hole of this so-called right to privacy that the right to privacy now has been transformed to the right to do whatever I want in my own personal life. And now everyone is compelled to affirm anyone else's life choices. I mean, we are beyond the questions of, are we condemning homosexual behavior, for example? We are now to, and that has been largely accepted in community where it used to not be, but now we are to the point where we're actually contemplating these minor attracted persons laws, like you said, all of these things, because at what point, if you move the bright line to say God established the moral rules for human sexuality and therefore human flourishing, and we move that bright line, then everything is totally arbitrary. And so any limit that the government would impose would probably run afoul of this so-called right to privacy. So how do we roll it back?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, as a pastor, I've served the church here in Cape Coral for 37 years this month, and I've thought a lot about this. And I just want to say, I believe that the major fault lies at the feet of God's people. We who know God, we who have the Bible, believe the Bible, we who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to confess our failures, our sin, and we need to plead with God for His reviving work among us. And our church is doing that. We have days of prayer and fasting, recognizing that we've sinned against our God. And churches, pastors like me, we are the ones that are going to have to lead this in our churches. We're going to have to call God's people to look at God's word again and confess our sin against Him and call for repentance. Again, Ted Cruz, as far as I know, has been a faithful member of a Baptist church in Houston. He should have been taught these things. And yet I'm guessing that he was not and has not been. And I'm not throwing stones. I'm a part of that. So I'm speaking in the first person, not in the third person here. God's people must humble ourselves before God and realize that we are in the mess we're in because God has brought judgment on the United States of America. This is Romans chapter 1 being played out in our eyes. God has given us over to our lusts and our rebellion as a culture. And if we're going to see any correction of this, it will come by God's people humbling ourselves and throwing ourselves at His mercy and determining to do whatever we must do to contend for His throne rights in His world, which means preaching His law, not as a way to gain favor with Him, but as a way to show this is what's right, this is what's wrong. You're convicted when you do what's wrong. You need to be made right. And to proclaim His gospel, which is saying Jesus Christ has done everything to make you right with God. You need to come and bow to Him, receive Him as your Lord and Savior, be reconciled to your Creator. It's the church's responsibility, and that's my hope and prayer. I hope for the rest of my life to be able to give myself to trying to encourage my fellow pastors to seek God's blessing, His forgiveness, as we seek genuine repentance. As we do that, then we'll be able more effectively to declare to people like Senator Cruz and others who are civil magistrates in our nation, this wonderful nation God's given to us, that we need to call them to remember that they are God's servants. He appointed them, and they're accountable to God. They're accountable to make political decisions based upon moral reality. And it's never politically expedient to do what's morally wrong.
So well said. And I'm speaking with Pastor Tom Askell, and this is why it's an important conversation for the church, but also the state. And we can't buy into this false myth that there's a separation here. And as people say, you know, well, fine, go preach that in your churches, but don't impose your morality on civil society. And while they claim that we're advocating for a theocracy, of course we're not, because pastors are not civil magistrates. There's a separation of authority there and jurisdiction, but the divine law and the ultimate supreme authority is still the same God over both the church and the state and also the family. And so this, it's the same moral construct. It's the same truth. And so as we then as Christians go into society and we are advocating these things to our civil magistrates, how would you encourage people to have this conversation of, well, maybe we need to recontemplate what is prohibited and what is permissive in society based on moral law, not just based on what has been commonly accepted for the last, you know, 50 years. How do we start to have that conversation without feeling like we're just going to be shut down and, oh, you're bigoted and, you know, you're against, you know, people's right to love?
Yeah, well, and you probably will meet that very often. I could speak from experience on that. But I think we need to try to help people to ask the right questions. And one of the ways I do this is just by asking, says who? When they say, well, you can't do that. That's unloving. Says who? Or where do you get that idea? By what definition? By what standard? Founders Ministries, I'm the president of that. We produced a documentary a few years ago called By What Standard, trying to make that very case, because it's not a question of whether or not we're going to be ruled by laws that are grounded in some morality. It's a question of which morality. Right now, we are seeing a juggernaut of the LGBTQ leftist morality that is telling us this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what's good, this is what's bad, and they have blasphemy laws, and so they will cancel you. They have discipline. You know, all of the things of the makings of a religion are operating in our culture. And so the question is not whether or not we are going to be a religious people and governed by religious convictions. The question is, which religion are we going to be governed and guided by? And I want to contend that the only true religion is the religion of the true God who created this world, who gave his son, the Lord Jesus, to save sinners and reconcile us to himself, and who knows what's best for us. And so I'm willing. I wish we could get it on the ground where those who are the high priests of this new religion honestly say, here's our religion. This is what we want to argue for. And those of us who know God through faith in Jesus Christ can say, okay, we will contend for our religion as well, and let it, and try to convince you that what God has revealed to us in Christ is actually better for you. I mean, where does religious liberty come from? Where does the recognition that a person's conscience cannot be coerced against his will in any legitimate way for religious expression? That comes from the true religion of the true God revealed in the Bible and made available to us in Jesus Christ. So the true religion, true Christianity, is the best possible way for atheists and pagans to have a life where they're not being put to death because of their private convictions. You don't get that in Saudi Arabia. You don't get that in Iraq, Iran, where there are these Muslim republics. No, you do it their way or you die. And that's not the way of Christ. And so in the civil arena, we have flourished and benefited in this country because of our Christian heritage, and we desperately need to recover it if we're going to be sustained as a nation going forward.
Absolutely. So well said. Tom Askell, thank you so much for your courage, for speaking the truth, and for promoting truth and biblical morality in civil society in all of the ways that you do. And we are praying for you, and thank you so much. You can follow Tom Askell on Twitter, and I hope that everyone does, because his messages are always great. He also has a great podcast as well that you can find there. So Tom Askell, thanks so much. And in just the last minute we have here, I also want to encourage everyone listening that the American Family Association also has a couple of resources if you want to go even further in understanding how to promote truth to a broken world, and how can I reach the sexually broken in an effective way with grace and truth. The AFA Cultural Institute has a special edition that you can watch for free for a limited time on streaming.afa.net. There are practical ways to minister to the sexually broken. And the second one is the theological error of quote unquote gay Christianity. I'd really encourage you guys to go to streaming.afa.net, get some of these resources so we can continue as the body of Christ to promote truth in society and have a comprehensive biblical worldview.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.